Blog Talk Radio.
You ain't even turned.
Ministry to the regime. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, manikayum ad-Din. Yakana aburu wa yakana astayin. Ihdinas sirata al-mustaqim. Rota Levin and Amta Alehim Hiril Megdubi Alehim Waledolin. I mean. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum. I've just recited to you the Al-Fatiha in Arabic and in English. And I'm greeting you with the world's greeting of God's peace be unto you, of As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. I am one of your hosts for today, Sister Daya Hanan Shabazz Akbar, out of Decatur, Georgia. Speaking on the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. That's the second focus. First focus is the message of concern, which is the removal of all images from worship that portray divine. The removal of all images from worship, that portray divine. This is what we have to teach to our children, which is the truth about the images and our responsibility is to assist in seeing that the removal of all images from worship that portray divine, because God needs no statues, no crosses, and no images that portray him, that portrays the creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, which I bear witness to. There's only one God, one creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, the one creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And we choose to call him Allah. We choose to call him Allah, Almighty God, Allah. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is his last prophet, servant, his servant, and the messenger of God, of Allah. As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show of the Message of Concern. We have other hosts, too, which is Brother Suja Muhammad, and Sister Quran Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Myself, which I just announced myself, Daya Hanan Shabazz Akbar, and Brother Abdullah Rasul Akbar of Decatur, Georgia. And we have Imam Ibrahim Abdullah from Atlanta. And we sometimes have Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. And we're all considered hosts of this Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad from L.A., Los Angeles, California. So we give you the greetings again. We know that it's that time of the year, which we say season's greetings. I don't know whether I may choose to say Merry Christmas or may choose to say Happy Holidays. It's your choice. But we Muslims choose to say season's greetings. Okay, I wanted to bring attention to the Muslim Journal for this week, well, the week of December the 10th, rather, because we're a week behind, really. And this is the one who emphasized it a little bit. It was emphasized on the time to be grateful. and which is the tribute, which is tribute to the Muslim Journal. This is one before, okay? So it says Muslims join in celebration of Barbados becoming independent republic. We recognize that because we know that Barbados, that's a part of us already and has an imam there. Yes, this is the one. Yeah. And we have removing Queen Elizabeth of England, British colonizers. This is what Barbados is celebrating now. Removing Queen Elizabeth of England, British colonizers. And Barbados is now, has become an independent republic, part of the independent republic. So, and that's a blessing right there by Aisha Mustafa. She put it in the paper here. And I'm doing this, I'm emphasizing this for a special reason. We know that the only independent one is Allah himself, okay? And we know this, but we say independent, meaning that they don't have to depend on anybody else for their substance, for their well-being, for their needs to be met, because they are considered a community of themselves. They're their own community now, you know, governing their own people now, so they themselves can know how to supply their own needs or get where to get help from to supply their own needs, which is Allah, and they can support themselves. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy for them. I must connect with them to congratulate them. We have two I want to emphasize on this particular, in this particular book, paper, excuse me, celebrating a new age. Atlanta's Muslim youth display their support for Muhammad schools. And this youth here, you hear it for yourself and see it for yourself. Principal Khalil Ali, which is Sister Halima, Muhammad Ali's son. And a lot of people know Sister Halima. She's known in L.A. as well by some people because she spent some time there, went to college there and lived there. And now she's here helping her son at the Sister Clara Muhammad School in Atlanta. And he's doing great works. And we are pushing and everybody to please get behind him and back him and continue to encourage him. He's a young brother with a young wife and I think two children, yes. And he's doing quite well already. You can see the difference. He's not afraid to speak. He's not, Brother Khalil, he's not afraid to speak at all. Okay, this Brother Khalil, the principal of Sister Clara Muhammad School here in Atlanta. And you also have Dr. Suleiman Ensanaya Waziruddin. That's Brother Waziruddin, the brother that used to be with Suleiman for Hajj Pros. He used to work with him and take people, escort people to Hajj. Yes, it was a great loss. Now his wife, Sister Edwina, too, has joined him in the hereafter, inshallah. And his daughter has a dental business right at the corner of Atlanta Masjid. And this young brother right here, it's kind of extensive, but his son and her son and what he's doing as a business entrepreneur, but it's kind of extensive. And if I can find some time after highlighting and mentioning the other areas, of the young, of the youth, and their entrepreneurship and businesses. We have the we've Bob Black, Brother Sharif. We talked about him last time we spoke on the Blog Talk Radio show. How I had mentioned to him about the getting shares in his business, We Buy Black. He said, not yet, Sister. He said, we're trying to get it together. He said, you're one of the first ones I contact. So, alhamdulillah. So, he's in the Muslim Journal, too, on the 10th. He and his wife, Sister Zahra Bashir, and Brother Sharif Abdul Malik and Zahra Bashir. Okay. And we see Sister Anissa Dewan, too. Yeah. Well, I can't say favorites, but she is one of the people that I choose to communicate with and to help learn from. Her mother's the same. Mother's name is the same as mine, Daya. So we talk about that. Inshallah, we can bring her on our show one of these times to speak on the youth. And she was assisted in her in being taught by Brother from Florida, passed not too long ago. Wow, I don't believe that just slipped my mind. I'm thinking of so much to talk about here tonight, because I wasn't on last night to ask questions like and to get some information that I wanted. So now I'm not lost for words, but kind of slow in picking up on where I wanted to start off at, because I had my questions in mind that I had one asked from before. Brother Ahmed, yes. Brother Ahmed from Florida. Yeah, that was her mentor, and the one that taught her. So she was at time to be grateful, and she presented, it says, A Time to Be Grateful presents its first Harriet Tubman Award to Sister Anissa Dewan. The first Harriet Tubman Award to Sister Anissa Dewan. Muslim Journal's virtual presentations, December the 10th through the 12th in 21, which was this month, and it was not expounded on like we wanted it to be expounded on, but there were people that came on our Blog Talk Radio show and was able to speak a little bit on the time to be grateful. Now, I want to know if at any time if anybody wants to say anything or contribute or have something to share with us, please push 1 on your phone receiver and we'll recognize it and bring it into the queue. Okay, recognize you and bring you into the queue. This is something I wanted to read to you too, especially for children and young adults trying to be grateful. Okay, and this is by Sister Amatala or Amatula Umrani, whichever one you choose to call Amatala or Amatula. It's the same person, and she's here every week, issue of the Muslim Journal, under the Education and Islamic School System, right underneath Sister Clara Muhammad's picture and Imam W.D. Muhammad's saying when he was in Los Angeles, California, November 21st, 1992. But I want to read to you this from Sister Amatala. And it says, especially for children and young adults, trying to be grateful, in order to feel grateful to Allah, you have to slow down and be thoughtful. And she writes, "O Allah, help me to be grateful and not a great fool. This personal dua was discovered in my computer documents folder, written in days long past after some forgotten event. Parents from an earlier time forbade the children calling anyone a fool." That's right. And Al-Islam discourages the use of offensive names and labels. Psychology also discourages negative labels. There are, however, behaviors labeled in the Quran as foolish and persons as fools. We want to be far from any such thoughts or behaviors. Arabic root, sin, fa, ha. And when they are told, "Believe as others believe," they answer, "Shall we believe as the fools believe? Oh, verily it is they who are fools, but they know it not." For further study references, or for further studies, refer to Surah 2, Ayat 13, Surah 2, Ayat 130, Surah 2, Ayat 142. And then Surah 4, Ayat 5, Surah 6, Ayat 71, Surah 7, Ayat 66 through 67, and 7, no, and this is Surah 7 through 1, Surah 7, Ayat 155. Then you have Surah 33, Ayat 72, Surah 43, Ayat 54, and Surah 72, Ayat 4. The words grateful and thankful have been seen and spoken on numerous times related to Thanksgiving Day and, for Muslim journals, a time to be grateful. The secular world and counselors stress the value of keeping a gratitude journal. In order to feel grateful to Allah, you have to slow down and be thoughtful. This can happen during Salat. If you concentrate on the words and not simply recite them, that's my problem. A lot of times I concentrate on the words and I just simply recite them. That's why you hear me hold back a little bit and then pick back up, because I'm thinking of the words, okay? They have always been amazing, as well as routine things we may neglect showing gratitude for. Did I highlight the pain I was experiencing over what was not hurting? Was that showing a lack of gratitude? Could being grateful make one closer to Allah and more peaceful, even during storms of life? Definitely. Could it have helped me avoid some of the times I was fooled? Could being grateful keep one from the foolishness described in the Quran? The root of the word grateful is the same as ingratitude and relates to being appreciative. We express our gratefulness in words and actions. This extends from material gifts and time others devote to us, all the way to the creation and use of the talents and skills given by Allah. We say thank you and treat well what we are given. Okay, and then questions, submissions, send to wholesolutions@gmail.com or 414-502-4456. Whole.solutions@gmail.com or call 414-502-4456. Okay. I don't know if I want to other reading about that right now or not, maybe a little bit later. It says first confirmed case of Omicron variant. First confirmed case of Omicron variant detected in the United States. Okay, it says the first case of the Omicron variant detected in the United States in California. Okay. By Stacey M. Brown, NNPA Newswire, senior national correspondent, national. The California and San Francisco Departments of Public Health have confirmed that a recent case of COVID-19 among an individual in California was caused by the Omicron variant. According to a news release from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the individual was a traveler who returned from South Africa. On November 22, 2021, the unnamed person who was fully vaccinated and had mild symptoms that are improving is self-quarantining and has been since tested positive. The CDC said all close contacts have been contacted and have tested negative. Agency officials said genomic sequencing was conducted at the University of California, San Francisco, and the sequence was confirmed at CDC as being consistent with the Omicron variant. This will be the first confirmed case of COVID-19 caused by the Omicron variant detected in the United States, CDC officials wrote in the news release. On November 26, 2021, the World Health Organization, WHO, classified a new variant, B.1.1.529, as a variant of concern and named it Omicron. Read this again. On November 26, 2021, the World Health Organization, WHO, World Health Organization, classified a new variant, capital B, .1.1.529, as a variant of concern and named it Omicron. On November 30th, 2021, the United States also classified it as a variant of concern. The CDC said it has been actively monitoring and preparing for the variant, and the agency will continue to work diligently with other U.S. and global public health and industry partners to learn more. Despite the detection of Omicron, Delta remains the predominant strain in the United States. Delta remains the predominant strain in the United States, the CDC stated. The recent emergence of the Omicron variant, capital B.1.1.529, further emphasizes the importance of vaccination, boosters, and general prevention strategies needed to protect against COVID-19. Everyone 5 and older should get vaccinated. Boosters are recommended for everyone 18 years and older. It says, follow Stacey Brown on social media at Stacey Brown Media. It takes me into a whole different mode when I started reading about this virus and how they're holding things back and not bringing the truth out like it should be at one time. I don't understand that. Mm-mm.
I wanted to read this. I didn't think it was true when I read it before on Facebook. It seems to be true. In loving memory of Malika Saban Shabazz, in this time of deep sadness from the loss of our beloved baby sister, Malika Saban Shabazz, our family extends heartfelt gratitude or the outpouring of sadness we have received from so many well-wishers around the world. We ask for your continued prayers and warm thoughts as we grieve. Malika will now rest in peace with our parents, El Haj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X, and Dr. Betty Shabazz. The memorial celebration of life will be held in the coming weeks with our eldest sister, Ambassador Shabazz, presiding. Malika is survived by her immediate family, her loving daughter, Bahia, her nephew Malik Amjad, and her five sisters, respectively. Atila, Quibibla, Bahia, Eliessa, Gamila, Lumumba, and her beloved twin, Maisak Saban. Blessings and peace be unto you, the Shabazz family. By Sister Sophia at IG's. Sophia, stay tuned. Unconventional. Half of what this world has to offer. I don't want expectations from others. We don't need you. Thought you were crazy. No, absolutely not. You're not crazy. You're inconceivable, full of colors and charisma, a free spirit, something like a butterfly. Don't step on my wings. Your journey is not my journey, and vice versa, because we are not the same or Our dreams, our passions may not correlate, but one thing we have in common is that we are sisters in faith. And if anybody ever asks you, why are you putting on makeup, who are you getting cute for, me, myself and I, Allah has blessed each and every one of us to grow blossoms. Flap your wings and fly. We're not the same girls we were at 12, 15, or even 20, you know who you are, and you know what you want. Allah is etching avenues and opening doors for us. If we hold on to this deen, stay humble, and know that the foundation of Islam that we have is gold, no need for me to feel misunderstood or strive to give extra explanations. Alhamdulillah. You're unconventional, full of colors and charisma, a free spirit, something like a butterfly. Don't step on my wings, and don't let anybody step on your wings. Allah has made it clear of our beautiful, distinct importance. Look at me. I am sweet and petite, but I am not the one. Don't let this head fool you. I come from, and I am the product of a beautiful community, and the women, my sisters, are beautiful, colorful, radiant, outspoken, vibrant, one of a kind, and we don't hold back what's on our mind. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Peace. That was right on the money there. That was good. That was good. Okay, let me see. Oh my. This computer's now acting up again. What's wrong with this thing? I've been reading so much out of the book. My computer cut off. Okay, there it goes. It's going back. Okay, we have someone who wants to speak now. Come on. What is this? We have Brother Agba, my dear husband, who would like to speak. Let me open him when we give him.
Well, Gasoline, I need to charge my phone up a little bit. I'll come back and I'll charge my phone up.
I'm
going to
get you.
Okay.
I'm going to get you. Yeah. What can I?
Give me a few minutes to charge my phone up.
Assalamu alaikum. Does anyone else have anything to say? If they do, please push 1 on your receiver and I bring it into the queue. Okay, then, if you don't, then I'm going to read up a poem. Favorite poems too, and it says, talking about the youth, young fathers, do you leave them wisdom? Okay, and this comes from Imam W.D. Muhammad's 75 Selected Poems book, It's Time We Sing a New Song. And I'll be quoting from The Heart and Soul of Wallace, from the philosophical thinking and intellect of Imam W.D. Muhammad, page 25. Young fathers, do you leave them wisdom? When he was poor and only 12, he was staying with his parents, but thinking by himself. No matter where his body was, his mind was also there and somewhere else. His parents gave him responsibility for 3 of 4 things to do. Caring for his mother's hen house and chickens was the more interesting of the few. This little boy of 12 noticed that chickens hardly used deceit, and their movements were true. Young fathers, do you leave them wisdom? Most of our parents from the South knew how to keep a city boy alive. They were preparing their children to grow up, be grown at 21, and love working from 8 to 4 or 9 to 5. They would tell them each morning, make up your own bed, to have them indulge both the world of the living and the dead and grow up wise. Young fathers, do you teach them wisdom? When no more than 8 and poor, this young boy knew the expression chewing the cud. When they meet in the streets, your boys give each other finger signs and hugs. Help your sons open up their minds to beautiful flowers. From precious flower buds, young fathers, do you leave them wisdom? Many of the homes you made for your sons were homes that sent them to prison. Young fathers, do you leave them wisdom? The little boy of 12 threw crushed corn kernels to a rooster that stood hungry on his feet. That rooster would wait in that condition until the mother hen came with her children, and they all had something to eat. Young fathers, do you leave them wisdom? At the end of a hen house day, a mother hen will not go to rest, to rest before she counts her brood. There would be less of our boys missing if they had met the curfew. Young fathers, many homes you made for your young sons have been homes that sent them to prison. Young fathers, do you leave them wisdom? When they are making decisions on their own, will they have consumer spending sense and some money left in the bank? Do you think or do you leave them the words of W.E.B. Du Bois, words asking of African-American parents to teach their children to think? Young fathers, do you leave them wisdom? Alhamdulillah. This is one of my favorite poems from Imam W.D. Muhammad. I used to read the poetry every Saturday on the Lifeline. But I had to get into so many things until I had to give up the poetry. Back again reading poetry, inshallah. Now, I wanted to... Come on, did I see Sister... Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Quran. Sister Quran, is that you? Did you have something to say? Alaikum assalam. You got something to say, sisters? Help us out today.
What did you say, Sister Daya?
I said, you got something to say today to help us out today?
Yeah, I have something to say.
Alaikum. Yeah, I know you do. Alaikum assalam.
But well, I do have something to say, and what I was saying, I was discussing, a believer and I, we was talking, and we were talking about the anyway, it was stated that a lot of masjid or either some masjid, they stopped having on Sunday. They stopped having what do you call it? I forgot what you call it. What do you call it?
Talim.
Yeah, Talim. Yeah, stop having Talim.
Right.
And I said because of the imam. He said imams stop having Talim. I said I was telling him that they do not. The imam don't have that right. The imam, see, what people fail to understand that the imam duty dealing with a non-profit organization, dealing with a church, I'm not sure about the church, but I know, I guess, dealing with a church and the masjid, what it is that they do not even supposed to be on the board. They name don't supposed to be on the board. They could set in. They could give or advice, but they don't. But their name don't supposed to be on the board, and also their only duty, the imam's only duty, is to make sure that at the masjid, he's the imam there, that he keep everything in the Islamic prospectus. That's one thing. That is one of his duties right there. If someone comes to the imam and asks them that they want to do Talim on a Sunday, and most likely they have either before the prayer or either after the prayer during that time, and if that space is available, the imam do not have the right to tell them that they cannot have Talim unless there's something, wrong with the building or, et cetera. But just saying that, no, you can't have Talim, no. The imam don't have that right. And the talib belongs to the dawah. Belongs to dawah. There's a teacher say that if you do not have tafsir, if you do not have dawah in your masjid, there's no one doing dawah in your masjid, you don't have a masjid. How can you have a masjid if you don't have no dawah, if no one's out there trying to bring, spreading Islam? And so that's one thing I wanted to say right there. I said, so when you don't have Talim on Sunday, I said, That's because you giving him that right, and he don't have that right. And I was telling him, I said, one thing I can say about here at Sabakoon is that down, you know, Sabakoon right there, is that anytime you go to the imam and tell him you want to do something on Sunday like tithing, he'll give you that right. Long as it's vacant, he'll give you that right. He said, well, I have something because I know, because this was Sister Rashida and I did every Sunday on the fourth Sunday. That was our Sunday. So you could have the imam don't have the right to say that you can't have tithing. How are you going to have the right to say that you can't spread Islam? You can't teach Islam. Because Talim is said, and the reason why, because you know what the difference between Talim and Juma, you know. But Talim is basically like if you want to speak about everyday life and different things, what's happening in the community, you know that. Those are the subjects basically you could teach, you could discuss right there doing Talim. And so that's one thing I want to say. So when they say that they don't have Talim on Sunday, because of the imam, because they're giving him that right, and he don't have that right. He don't have that right. That is not for him to. That right belongs to the community. And also, I want to say is that correct me about the shura, because I'm trying to get to understand when you have a shura, you know, is that what you're supposed to do? Is my understanding is that when you have shura, for example, like if we just get together, you know, having right now, just us, starting off, it's a small group, then most likely we would be the shura board because it's just us. But if you have people there all the time for years and all of a sudden you want to have a shura board, then you can't just say, well, I want this person, I want that person, I want that person. It's not like that. The community is supposed to pick the shura board. They're supposed to have some voice in it. Even like right now, if we started something right now, we get like, you know, 50, 60 people start coming in, and they've been there for years, and all of a sudden you say, well, let's have, we're going to have a shura board. Then just you and Akbar and I, we can't just say we're going to be the shura board. We have to, now all these people, they have been contributing and giving their donation. Then they have the right to say, let's vote. They have the right to vote to see who should be on the shura board. And that was my understanding of that. So that's what I want to explain. And then when you do that, you give them power. And also, I want to say is that because I was just thinking, I said, here when the brother was mentioned, because it just, you know, come in my mind every now and then, when the brother was mentioned about, you know, that over there in Bias, they're going to put down, put a Catholic church there. And I said, and that's Muslim ground. I said, well, don't they know that they dealing with homosexuals? That they're gonna have they're gonna have homosexuals up in there? And don't they know that they're gonna have statues and all that? I said, on Muslim grounds. I said, well, don't somebody supposed to speak up for that? Then how could they say we are Muslims? How could they represent now that they're Muslims? And they, I mean, okay, I would say like this, believers. Because Allah said, oh, you believe. So they might not be, I'm thinking about, I said, well, they might not be believers. Because I don't think no believers going to let that happen. I'm not going to let nobody, like my niece one time, she was going to come stay with me, and she a Christian, just for, you know, just temporarily. I said, you can come stay, but you can't be hanging no cross in this house. That's what I told her. I said, you can't do that. So that's just something that I wanted to know is why they did not stand up. But then I thought about it. I said, well, why is she over here, you know? And then you say all the Muslims are not like it, but nobody, none of them stood up. And I heard nobody voice on it but the brother that came on the line and was saying something about it. I said, so I can understand that how they could just let a church knowing that, and then it wasn't Christians during that time. It was another name. They called it Uranium. I ain't gonna pronounce it wrong, but I know it wasn't called Christians during that time, during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And plus, during that time, as you know, they was following Jesus. So if they was following Jesus, then you know that they wasn't bowing down to no statues. So that's what I want to say. So, and then I'm saying to myself, I said, wow, I said, and then now when they saying, and then when I heard that there are a lot of masjid, talking about imam said that they can't have talim on Sundays, I said, wow, I said, seems like we going back. We going back and everything. That's, and one of America's things they said that they wanted to do was to weaken Islam. They said Islam is, they were saying it's too strong. They're doing too much right, so they want to weaken Islam. I said, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So I said, we got to be careful, especially dealing with our children, because if we don't, we're going to be right back where we started from, alhamdulillah. And that, and you know what? I think, like the brother saying, that Allah left us to take care of this business. I said, we're not going to let that happen. I said, darn shame that they let that and then they go up in there. I said, I might go up in there one day into their store and ask them and say, dang, I said, I heard that y'all gonna let the Catholic Church be sit on the Muslim land. But why should I sit there? When I saw, when I went to church into their store one time, and I saw a big old, that's why I call it, was slanging pork. They had that big old hog, and I said, I mean, the whole half a pig. And then I said to myself, I'm going to sit back and see if them brothers going to go back there and touch that pork. I ain't blind. I ain't seen a pig like that in a long time. I said, they slanging that pork. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Quran. I'm just listening to you, and you are just amazing. I really, I listen to you, number one, speak on the imams. Not having the right to stop Talim. I don't know where that's been practiced at. I don't know who's doing that, but that's the first time I've heard of that, that the imams are the ones who tell you whether not to have Talim, or they're the one to tell you not to have Talim. You can't have Talim. I've never known them to put a stop to Talim.
Well, that's what I heard. That's why a lot of masjids are not having talim on Sundays. It's because the imam tell them that they can't have talim.
Maybe it's nobody there that wants to do talim. You know, talim is like an educational part of our, like you said, dawah, which is education, the same, you know, like that. And we used to have a problem ourselves at our masjid, given different committees a Sunday of the month. I was chairperson of the Health and Wellness Committee of of the masjid I attend, and I had every fourth Sunday. And we had, we talked about health, current, you know, and some past, and we also talked about some al-Islam and health coming from the Quran. You know, so all that's education. So I can't understand. Unless they just can't find anybody and nobody wants to volunteer and do talim. I don't believe that the imams would not allow anybody to do talim. Only if they would come up and say they want to be a presenter and would want to have talim, because the imam, he doesn't give talim every Sunday, but he does some Sundays, you know, and other Sundays he's out of town, you know, or something like that. But I've really never heard of that. The imams preventing people from doing talim. Okay,
That's what I heard, and that's why I said I haven't heard it either. But there was somebody that was a believer was telling me, and I said, "Are you serious?" And then they said they talked that they were kicking around on the lifeline one time about it, and I said, "Wow!" I said, "I probably was sick during that time," but that's what was said. I said, "Well, let me, you know, bring it out and see."
Kicking around.
Yeah, you know, they were saying something about on the lifeline about talim. Stop
and
having Talim.
Not having Talim. Oh. Oh, well.
Yep.
It's hard to believe that the Imam will stop propagation.
But Imam don't have that right. That's what people understand. They don't have rights like
and,
that. They're only supposed to keep everything in Islamic perspective. And that's all they're supposed to do. That's all that they do. That's their duty.
Imam have their duties. They know what their duty is. They know what they're supposed to do. And everybody has their own opinions, and everybody, those who do know, know what a Imam's duty is, what his duties are. You know, if not, then it's easy for them to be able to find out, because they can ask the Imam, and then you mentioned also Shura Board, that the maybe three people's like that, if we were the only ones there, we wouldn't be considered as being a Shura Board. We would just be considered as those people who make the decisions until we can get more people to take on different committees or board, like the Shura Board, like the Trustee Board, and stuff like that. It won't be that three people would be considering themselves as being a Shura Board, And then, too, you're right, the Shura Board is picked. They're chosen from the voted on, supposedly. It's what I've always been taught, that the Shura Board is elected by the community, by their community. Those qualified to be on the Shura Board, because the Shura Board consists of so many things, and they have a description, like a job description, duty, and like secretary have a description, all positions like that have descriptions and things they're supposed to be responsible for.
Let me say this right quick. Then I understand about that is that when you still have to bring it to the community, bring it to the group, and then you go back and do sure. You still have to. You can't just that's just like dictating. Okay, we're gonna do this here. So it's not like you got your business. See, even when you do your business, you know. We get together, and before we make a decision, we get together and we talk about it, and then we vote on it. That's the same thing you do with the board. You come in, it's like I might come in and say, well, I'd like to make a suggestion about this and about that, And then they say, okay, then I bring it to the group. I bring it to the whole group. And then you say, okay, then what we're going to do, we're going to go back and we will go and take a sure on it. We'll just go and see because they might have more knowledge on what it's going, so they'll just, they'll get together and then they'll start talking about it and discussing it, and then they'll bring it back to the group. See, you don't just do things and come back and say, well, you guys got to do this. Y'all can't do this no more. Y'all can't do this no more. You say, wait, what's going on?
Well, people know what a Shura Board is for. They know the description of a Shura Board.
No, everybody don't. Everybody don't. They let certain people just go hang it on and say what they want to say and do what they want to do, give them that power. Sometimes we give Satan power and then that's the only thing. If they do, then they just letting them go ahead and do what they want to do, because it don't work like that. And the thing about let me explain something to you. And the thing about it is, it's not because we let it do it, but our children. Look what we're setting for our children. That's only making them weak. And people will laugh at them. They will laugh at them. Because you don't think that those that are not Muslim, those are disbelievers, that they don't know? To know your enemy, you have to know their language, and you have to know their religion and what they believe in. That's how you're going to conquer them. You can't go up there and fight somebody and don't know their weakness and don't know their belief.
Calm down.
I'm calming down. I'm just telling the truth.
Okay, but I want you to understand what you are saying yourself. I want you to understand what you're saying, because you're putting it out here to give us some information that you are aware of, okay? It's not that none of us that you're talking to is aware of what you're speaking on. It's just that make yourself clear whenever you're speaking. Let somebody know and make you know, let it be understood what it is that you, where you're coming from and what you're actually saying. Okay.
Okay. What I'm actually saying is that we have to practice that which is right. When we come together as Muslims, you're supposed to practice that which is right. That's what we're supposed to do. And if our brother or sister is wrong, then we're supposed to correct them. And especially if it is written. That is our duty. Because our children are there. Non-believers are there. Those that just coming in are there. They're listening in. That
is
important.
What is it you want us to know?
I'm just saying what we have to speak the truth. That's all. When you come together, you're supposed to come together to practice good and do that which is right and practice that which is right. Ain't no one perfect but Allah, but we're supposed to practice that which is right.
Okay.
And correct each other if there's wrong. And then you're supposed if you're wrong, then you're supposed to submit. Oh yeah, I was wrong. You're right. And you show them where there's wrong. I've been in the situation. I've been there, and I know. And that's what we practice. And believe me, it works. Everybody is happy when you just tell them the truth. And they know. And our children. So when our children grow up, they will know. They will know.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make them strong. The truth. Alhamdulillah. That's all I'm saying. We got to speak the truth, and we got to correct the problem because our children.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, Karan. Okay, I have someone else in the queue now who would like to speak and bring him in. This person has had his hand up for the longest here, but I wanted Sister Karan to get hers out. You had to charge your phone, so let me go to this person here who's had their hand up for the longest, please. Please allow the visitor to. Okay, we have area code 914. Last four digits. Oh, my food is burning. Last four digits is 3275. Assalamu alaikum. State your name, Brother Muhammad Sharifa. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalam.
I saw your hand up there.
Yeah, I think I put my hand up by mistake earlier. When I first came on. I only came on about 15 minutes ago.
Well, I will just say assalamu alaikum, but I didn't have anything to say.
Hi, assalamu alaikum. Well, alaikum assalam, Sister Sharifa. Thank you all. Thank you all. Well, let me bring Brother Akbar back on now. Come on, push one and take your push one. Will it take you back off? Okay, Brother Akbar. Hi, Sam Aleko.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Umalishatamadin. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. I said we lay ilaha illallah. I said we lay anymore. We only bear witness and we testify there is no God but Allah and that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophet and the prophet to come. I too agree that the Tallinn service has almost deceased. And Tallinn was the time that you can question, you can't ask no question doing Juma, but you can ask questions. And that test day that was given that we can invite our Christian brothers, because many Christians will leave the church and come to our place of worship. So I agree. And this is not kept up by the imams. Imams that asked us to not to let them forget what Imam had brought to us, and we shouldn't forget no one. But now Imam is the closest of all of the leaders that have been with us, and they seem like they're trying to put Imam Waiz Muhammad out of the minds of the people. So Tylin is so very important. And many questions, many people have come through the religion through Tylin. And many people have the time on Sunday to come, and they had to grow into the time of Jummah on Friday. That's something they grow into doing. But on Sunday, it's a lot easier for people to get out and talk about Tylin. But I don't care. All of the just about every masjid, if we are going to preserve the future for our children, we must have a school. We must have schools, institutions. We must support each other. I know some of our places that we have maybe a little higher than us, but the food is best for us than those other places, because Muslims are preparing that food for Muslims, and that's what you had to pay for sometimes a little extra for the good food that we eat. But we can't continue to say that we are pro Imam W.D. Muhammad and not supporting businesses that belong to the people in our community. How can we grow supporting everybody else's idea? We won't be able to grow. We won't be able to reach the benefits of this world supporting everybody else. We always be on the bottom. We always be at in an inferior position. So we have to learn how to sacrifice and spend with each other. If you can't spend with each other, then it seems like you would eat at home. Wouldn't eat with all these other people. And these people, you really putting your stomach in their hands. And they have no feeling, and they have no conscience when it comes to what they fix and feed you. So that too, all of this is for us to grow. Many Muslim business went out of business because Muslims would not support Muslims. And this is hypocritical. We know we got the best religion. We know what our obligation are. And then we walk away from our obligation and responsibility every time we go and support others. We have no true concern about our us. So we can correct that, and we must start working on that so we can start building our economic base. Yeah, people can go in business all day long, but the people that's already in business who don't like us, they ain't going to spend nothing with you. If African-American was to stop spending money for 1 month, this whole country's structure would have to change. But we don't have no real love for unity, no more than what we speak about to make it sound like we do. We have no real love for responsibility. We have no obligation. And that's why people are so much in front of us. They out, way out in front of us, because we don't have the love and the obligation that we need for our community. We don't. We wouldn't have a police force nowhere in this country. We are serving us, and they would not be able to do it unless we remind of their obligation that they take an oath to protect and serve, and they don't take that oath. It seems like common sense would say that person need to go. If you go on a job and you can't do the job, you can't produce, you can't do the 90 days or 90 days. And that should be office in this country. Because you feel to serve the community. Some people not function. So what I'm saying, until we get our own schools, well, we got the information in there for our children that this world have kept away from our children, and have a kind of a school that takes the child higher, because that was one of the one of Sister Claire Muhammad School and W.D. Muhammad. When those children had to go into the public school, they was already 3 grades higher than what they were getting when they got into the public school, and they excelled as soon as they got there. So we got the skill, we got the know-how to do it. We have built this country, and we are cheating ourselves thinking that we can't do it. And we know that where that comes from. That comes from the image. That's why the image is so important, what the psychological effect that it has on our children, our people, our women. You think they put up all these beautiful in our neighborhood, they didn't know the psychological effect that our women have, and who run into that beauty parlor and run into that beauty supply store to try to buy something to make them look attractive. You think they didn't know what they were doing? They said the Chinese people have built their whole country off the money they get from selling wigs, artificial nails, artificial eyelash. All that, even dye the skin. They got dye that you can buy to bleach the skin. So in Africa right now, is that many of the people there is trying to bleach their skin, and all that come from the image. So we have the information that this world needs correct the problem of this world. All we got to do is have the courage to share it with the world that we live in. A lot of times it comes about because people don't want to have the courage. They don't want to have the patience and love. They see that people are in bad shape and they say, well, I can't force that problem. May God peace and blessings be upon them. All the other prophets, they didn't have no, they went forth. They were just to make the message clear. And that message always, if it hit the right person the right way, it would cure them from the wickedness that this world have put on most of us, and have most of us going in the wrong direction. So I said, may Allah continue to bless us to study the taxi man, YG Mommy, support those things like the lifeline and get people come to those different places, BUII, where we are getting ready, inshallah, to buy, get this farmland so we can build our own town, can govern and operate and protect and operate ourselves and show the people how the human being supposed to live their life. If we got the best book, then we are being raised up to be the best human being and the best people to treat each other like the human being God wants us to be. So I turn it back over to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Daya, I just want to say one thing. Okay.
Wait a minute, Karan. Wait. Didn't say walaikum assalam. The speaker yet. Walaikum assalam. Brother Akbar, assalamu alaikum, Sister Karan. Come on with it.
Okay, I just want to say one thing is that we have to remember that the believers, she almost forgot. Believers are the maintainer of the masjid. That's what I wanted to say, alhamdulillah. They are the maintainer of the masjid. Shujah wanted to say something, huh? Alhamdulillah. Here's Shujah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. First of all, I'd like to say with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I bear witness there's only one God, and I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the Prophet. I think that almost everything that Akbar said in reference to the Tyleen, I mean, was hitting the mark. It was hitting the mark. You know, Tyleen is so important. The reason that it's important is that Tyleen gave the community a voice. When you let Tyleen die out, then the community don't have a voice. Also, Tyleen assists and sure. You know, if you want to do sure and you don't have no Tyleen, you know, how you going to do sure? Tyleen is the time that the community come together. If you want to get a body from the community, you got to do it from Tyleen. You can't do it from Juma. You know, and there's many things that you can't do during the coming together of Juma. You know. And the point that was made, it was already made, that I can't come together and establish my own sugar board. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Then it's killed the idea of sure. It's killed the idea of sure. Sure is when you get the body together. And get their opinion. You know, it's a broad opinion. You know, but if I have my own jury board, then the opinion can be controlled. You know, so most of the masjids. I'm not saying all the masjids, but the majority of the masjids have let Tyleen die. There is no Tyleen. So that's a fact. And so we need to find out why. Why is it that you let Tyleen die? You see, I already know that what it does is kill the believers' contribution. It's killed the believer's voice. You don't have no voice. So I would just like to, I would like to get some of the brothers and some of the sisters' opinion on how we gonna go by getting Tyleen back in our community and dealing with the concept of shura. You know, could we establish our own shura board? If somebody can explain that to me, I really would appreciate it. Because I know that sometimes you can be thinking wrong. So, alhamdulillah, I'm going to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaikum as-salam. One thing I would like to ask those of us who are considered staff or host, if we would I honor your and recognize your appeal, Brother Shujah, and the question that you had asked about opinions. But what I would like to do also is to mention this.
on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, we can't forget about the children's topics. We cannot forget about the children and the females' topics and concerns that we are supposed to approach and work our strategies for as well. And this sister brothers do have more nights than the sisters have. It would be very much appreciated that if something like that that you're doing now, as far as talking about the Shura board, we touched on something as well as far as the children, a little bit, just a little bit. But and then the next conversation came up, and I didn't stop it. I have all due respect to anyone who comes on the program with their concerns, you know. But please try and do us this favor and be considerate enough that on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, it's really supposed to be for the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children and how we're going to educate them and how we're going to tell them the truth and things that they're confronted with now. You know, there's only two nights. And then the brothers have Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They have four nights to approach those others because I like the conversations myself. But I don't want to get off of the subject completely of what I was chosen to do on the Block Talk Radio Show.
So, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Even though, regardless to how few people may respond, I may have to carry it all by myself as far as doing all the talking or the reading, as long as it's pertaining to the children and the females, you know, and the elderly. Like that, okay. This is we're gonna honor this what Brother Suja has asked tonight, and you know I feel okay about doing that. But please, let this be the last time on a Sunday night that we would approach something like that, you know, which is really business, really our communities, and is very, very much concerned. We're very much concerned about this. One of the important concerns, you know. That we have a message of concern. And I agree with that because I'm a part, you know, of the community as well. And I want to see things run smoothly and done the right way. But I also have something I was chosen to do that I have to, that I gave my word for, and I have to live up to that. Alhamdulillah. And so go ahead.
Alaikum.
Brother
Suja, can I say something to Zadaya?
I'll come back to what I wanted to say. Okay, go back.
Okay,
I want to first let everybody know that we can go on and address that what Brother Suja asked tonight, you know, and from now on we'll just acknowledge Sundays and Tuesdays has been a night to the sisters meet. Go right ahead. You go ahead, Karan. Thank you.
Okay. What I want to say is that right there, the Talim, all anything dealing with Islam have to deal is for the children. It's for our children to know how they're gonna. No. Let me finish, Daya. Okay, let me finish. Okay, I say that because if we don't teach them, how they're gonna know? If they don't have Talim, that's where you could teach that in Talim. You see, you don't have to be out there on the streets. Everybody ain't good to go out there on the streets all the time. You know, everybody don't have that talent to go out there. And be on the street like that, so they could come into the masjid. And a lot of people, they ain't gonna be out there. Our children ain't gonna be out there like that. A lot of them ain't gonna be out there like that. So you teach them. You have Talmud. I know. That's what I'm saying. So that is Islam. That is the psychological effect right there, because that's what that image is doing right now. They stopping you already. How are you gonna teach your children if they can't come to the masjid and get taught? And then how are you gonna teach them if they don't have they don't ask questions in Juma like the brother said, but in Talim they can. Alhamdulillah. That's all I want to say. That's all. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Well taken. But what I wanted to say is, yes, all of the message of concern and the image is about dawah and about teaching the children
And everything we talk about mostly on the line is about teaching the children, but there's an emphasis and a focus. When we're focused, we focus on that alone, the children. Because now what we're talking about now, indirectly, is benefiting the children, but it's not about like we do on the Tuesday, we focus on a Tuesday or a Sunday, because we would stick strictly with that on a Tuesday and a Sunday, and we wouldn't go to into the approach that we do on Dawa in order to get to the children. You see, like the brothers do. And then they have more time than we do for these particular ones right here. All of it is intertwined. All of it goes together. That's why I read some of Brother Henry's sayings about the main message of concern when they start, from King James Version and from the Quran, you know, when they speak on that, the image they will come out with, they speak on the graven image, you know. And I read that every time I come on. I read that. But I have to admit that every time, and I read that directly, I emphasize it that as I wanted to contribute something to the main topic, which is number one, the message of concern, which is the removal of all images from worship that portray divine. And I specifically say that, because that's what I want to contribute to, even though it's on a Monday night, even though it's on a Tuesday night, rather, or a Sunday night. I do mention that. But then, too, on the Sunday night and the Tuesday night, it'd be good if you could let them know that second folk, the ones that speak on the message of concern, would focus on Tuesday night and Sunday nights, but just mention something specifically that focuses on the children, strategy going to be used to be teaching, to teach them, what we should do about them with the injections, what about their education, and about getting some schools established, you know, and stuff like that, mainly focusing most of the time and most of the hours that we have on that, in addition to a little bit of something that's going to help them in your dawah, or help the children in your course of teaching dawah, or teaching about etiquettes and things that are proper that we're supposed to be learning as far as a community. That's all I was saying. Because it does seem like we are teaching the children indirectly, because they can't understand all that, a lot of it, that the brothers are talking about when they about going out in the public and teaching dawah, and like you were talking about the shura board and stuff like that. Children can't understand that, you know, and we all know that. And that's mainly for the adults that know about, and that's been in the community and know about the rights and the things that we're supposed to do and the rules and regulations of the community. Children don't know about that. We don't have to teach them that right now. Not that part, because it really doesn't pertain to them. It's appreciated, but it's not it's not pertaining to them. That's all I'm saying. I know all of it is about teaching.
You'd be surprised what our children know. Ask them. You'd be surprised. They could tell you about Islam. They could speak Arabic better than I can. Because my son, my grandson, I didn't even know he was speaking Arabic, and he corrected me. He said, "Grandma, that's not right. You don't say it like that." I'm telling you, you'd be surprised what our children know. Them children is not dumb. Our children are smart. So I'm telling you, be surprised.
When you always say, Let me finish talking. You just interrupted me when I was trying to finish. Yes, I understand what you're saying, and your point is well taken, Karan. Believe me, I graduated in 1982 with the early childhood elementary education degree. It ain't no big thing, but yes, I know how to stay in the line of what I'm supposed to be teaching them. I know how to follow the program. and the lesson plan that I have to teach them with or from. That's how we do. That's why we do lesson plans. So we can go and outline or whatever form we can do to complete our goals and, you know, and timing. So I understand, Bill. Don't think I'm trying to contradict what you're saying. I'm not trying to do that. And I understand different ones are on different levels. I understand that as well. And they have different age groups as well. And the ones that are in high school may understand what about the Shura board, or maybe those in a younger grade or at a younger age may understand about the Shura board and about other things, you know, but not all of them. So you want to keep it on the level, beginning level first, and try and make sure that they know that. And the only way I would know that is for the parents to speak up, or if there are any children listening. I never know when there are children listening. Now, we can talk about teaching them and how they're going to learn until we blue in the face, but if they're not listening and they're not even on the show and we have no proof, then we're just talking. And that doesn't help them nor us. Definitely we want to teach them. Who don't? Who don't want to teach the child the right way and the truth? I got 15 great-grands and 6 grands. You know I want to teach. I have my oldest daughter is 57 now. She went to Claremont School, University of Islam first, and then Claremont School. And when she got out, they skipped her 2 grades because she got out of Claremont School. I have my youngest one, Bushwa. She went to Claremont School, too. And I used to teach at Claremont School, University of Islam, and then Claremont School in Newark, New Jersey, and in Nashville, Tennessee. So now, I understand what you're saying very well. Believe me, I understand what you're saying. And I'm not a know-it-all, and don't pretend to be a know-it-all. I could never be a know-it-all. It's a part of my growth and development to continue to learn to listen and listen to learn. And that's what I intend to do. But I have to speak up sometime or another when I feel like I need to. And this is one of the times that I felt like I needed to. So I wish we would pay strict attention to the children, like I said, and bring out points and bring out strategies that we can get the schools together and all. We got papers and everything from Nashville, Tennessee, how to set a school up and all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about how to do that. But we're working on BUII. We got to talk about that. That's business. Let's get the community together so that the children can have some place to be and it can be conducive to them. Everybody, they can't learn in all types of environments and situations because it pulls them away from the right environment and situation they can be learning in. It's more conducive for them to learn in. They have a clear mind. They can concentrate on what they have to learn and what's necessary for them to know. You see? So we just have to, and when we're on the line, we're not trying to outdo each other or trying to out-talk each other or say that anybody is wrong. Even though we may not agree with everything, but we don't have to say they're wrong because we don't know they're wrong ourselves. And that wouldn't be considerate to do anything like that or disrespect anybody like that. Say, no, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. No. Even though if you're curious about it, you know, sometimes some things are best unsaid. I mean, you can learn to listen and listen to learn, and you'd be surprised what you learn when you listen. You know, anyway, enough said. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm trying to be respectful and considerate and concerned about all of us because we have a job to do, and we have to do this together. We don't have to always disagree or always agree, but we've got to learn how to work with each other. And we're not trying to outdo each other like my husband and say down here in Georgia, trying to top each other. I never heard that till I got here. You know, I heard outdo each other, you know, something like that, but I never heard top each other. But that's one of the ways they say it, and that's okay. I've learned to understand that. That's fine with me. Okay, we can go ahead and approach Brother Suja's question now and come up with the strategy of what he's asking. He's asking how we're going to
work on this. I just say, Brother Sujai, you can approach your question again and see who will respond. If you don't mind, Brother Sujai. Don't go south on me, Brother Sujai.
Yeah.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, my question and the what I'm asking the believers to give some input on could I as Shuja start my own shura, elect my own shura board, and put forth my own shura board, and also input on Tylene, the importance of Tylene. Should we just let Tylene die on the Sunday? So each idea that each person give is what we're going to be listening to. Yeah. So
okay.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay.
I tell them that.
Alaikum assalam. Now, if there's all of the mics are open. Anyone who would like to answer that from Brother Sujai, the question that he asked, can he select his own shura board, and can we do something about the Tylene, head to get Tylene going as well? Please push one, or just respond if you want to, because all the mics are open. You can just say what you have to say.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I don't pray because Allah, I open the bed windows to testify nothing is ever worshiped except Allah alone. And I would have been to testify that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the last messenger and his prophet in the seal of the prophet. I'd just like to just briefly, just because we don't got a little time, just try to answer some of the questions that was brought up. And one on the shura, no one can elect themselves to a shura board. And it's Shura, I'm trying to think of the whole name.
Shura Benahum.
Shura Benahum, yeah. Mutual consultation. That board is established by the body in all the communities. Whatever the communities are, they have a certain amount of members, that board is established. And for every male, is two males added to that board. And that's under the leadership of Imam Muhammad. And
every male is two females.
Every male is on the board, it should be two females.
Right.
So if you got five brothers, that means you got 10 sisters. And that's how that board is established like that. And I noticed in something in the masjid, they didn't have the sisters on the shore like that. And I would bring it up down, especially Mook Manun up with Ibn, I would always bring it up. But the imam said, for one brother, two sisters. And, you know, there's a lot of science behind it, but we'll go on that later. Next is about the Tylene. Should we let Tylene die? No, because that's part of Imam Muhammad's legacy. And he said this strongly. He said that his father had picked the best day, which was a Sunday, and that's why he kept it. And he told us also in Chicago that he never stopped it. Those imams stopped it, and he said it just like I'm saying it. The imams, they stopped it. He never stopped Tylene on Sunday. And he also told us there was a group of imams that had got together to figure out how it was going to take the community once he was gone. He told us that. So why should we let what was established by our leader go out? I mean, we was moving when we had Tylene on Sunday. And like you say, people can ask questions. People came to Tylene for the sole purpose to ask questions, coming from a church, coming along the street, because they wanted to know. And we're going to let that go. Not only that, it also brings the believers together. You know, Imam Muhammad taught us the most important thing in our community is community life. And that's a big part of community life is when we have the Talmud. We socialize, we ate together, we prayed together, we answer questions. And it helps the believers that are weak in the faith become more stronger when we have the Talmud. When I'm from Detroit, like Diane said, she's from Jersey. When we was in Detroit, we had a junior Surabaya home. We had some teenagers from the school, Sister Claire Mama School, high school, and they established a board, a Surabaya like we did. And what they done, they brought their little problem, little questions to our board. And we would allow them to come up when we meet and to present their problem issues to the body. And that was teaching them then. We had one junior inbounds, that's what they called them, had four or five brothers, young brother inbounds, and every other Sunday we would let them come up over for the Talmud. This was prepping them to be an imam. And the sisters, we had sisters to come up. We allowed the sisters also to come up on the opposite Sunday for them and let them open up for Talmud. We picked two of them. One would open up for the other, and the other would carry the biggest message. But we should never let anything go that Imam Muhammad brought in. As-salamu alaykum.
Thanks, man. Thank you, brother.
Anybody else? Y'all just go ahead. And I do remember myself, though, too, if I may say, I'm going to take a few minutes. Remember the two sisters and the one brother being on the Shura board, and five people to break the quorum of the Shura Benahum when they're like voting, like.
Yes.
And that's the part I remember.
And that's just ma'am, that would be okay. The ma'am, God. He would come in and break the tables or tie.
Okay. And I do remember that imams were not on the boards, like trustee boards and stuff
right.
Like that.
Right.
You know, they just do the, what are you supposed to do? The imam. As an imam. Give the khutbahs and be there for counseling if he has had that training. Or that type of a teaching as far as counseling. You know, he's when you're mm-hmm. counseling from when you're married, you know, you want to get married, you have to have, three counseling sessions, so.
Right. And also, you know, Muhammad said, Surah Benahum, he said, when we have the surah, or elect those who come to the surah, Imam Muhammad said, we should pick the most intelligent ones, the most knowledgeable ones, and the ones that's good in character to put on that board. You know, you don't want people sitting on that board don't have good character,
mm-mm.
good personality. You don't want that on the board.
Yes, I just think of you know when you bring up a good point like that, and something that is affecting us. It'll be adverse from the person. It's just like Malcolm said, you throw a brick out there and a bunch of dogs says the one that the brick hit, he gonna holler. the first thing, you know, I heard that the first thing that I heard on the lifeline is that someone was talking down on somebody or disrespecting somebody, and the reason is that this point was brought up about the Talmud.
Yeah, I brought it up about the Talmud.
It affects the freedom of the believer. It affects the freedom of the believer,
okay.
You know, and as long as we let the Talmud die, you're killing your own power. So we got to stand up. We got to speak up. We got to speak up, and nobody's bringing nothing up that is controversial, and we're killing the freedom of the believer, but let it be controversial. That's all I have to say.
Oh, Lord.
Does anyone, we have two minutes, it's 8:58. Now tomorrow is Monday, and I guess the brothers can continue this, you know, but if you have anything else, last minute words to say on, you got 60 seconds on this particular time of night.
Zaya.
Yes, sir.
I see you. Okay, hold on. Hold on for a second. Okay, yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You know, when we look at it, what we're talking about, we should take it up tomorrow. It's really a shame that we sitting here and have to go over this thing that was already established by our leader and the thing that we was already doing. And we had made great strides when we had Tylene. We was out front. And this is something, I mean, it really hurts. So that's what I'm saying. We got one more minute. It's 8:59.
Could you say the prayer and then
talk? Right. I will be lahim in the shaitan al-rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Our Lord, let not our hearts deviate from that which you have brought us to. I seek protection from Allah, and I do repent to him. O Allah, let not our hearts turn back to corruption after you have guided us. And from your presence, grant us mercy. Amen.
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 This is a hurting thing, you know, to let anything go that our leader did not let go. And he always encouraged us to stand up.
Come on.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Could I just say one thing? I'm going to show how important the Talim is. Like, I have a family member, and he's not a Muslim. And he's going through some serious changes. And I said to myself, I said, boy, I wish I could take him to the masjid.
Right.
And so he could ask questions and could hear. And I know that would change him. I know, because right now, and we got a lot of our children like that, brothers, you know, that all they need is to go somewhere. They have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go to hear the truth, to hear what could calm their mind. And that's what it is. Once you hear the truth, then you know, because they don't know what to do.
I think the believers don't realize that we don't cut off the community when we let the Tylene die. I don't think they realize that. There's no way that the outer community can get Islam from the American Muslim and we let Tylene die. No way.
I agree.
So we should come together. And the brother brought it up the other day. You got only two things, the truth and the lie. Voice the truth. If you're scared of the voice the truth, then just forget about it. You know. At least back up the brother or sister that's speaking the truth.
Yes.
Bad that the person is speaking to.
The thing is, everybody
should tell their friends. Yeah, that's right. Because every time we came on the Lifeline, when I came on with Suja, we are the ones that have been raising that question, that issue about the Talim on Sunday. Why was it cut out when Imam Muhammad said himself, I did not cut it out. It was you imams that cut it out. He said it just like that. So what does tell us?
And see, they took that offensive. You know,
I don't care.
Talking down on somebody. You ain't talking down on nobody.
No. And you know, I don't care. Allah gave us this vision. We got to stand up.
Somebody got to stand up, and we got to support the one that's standing up.
When I stayed on the lifeline and going to the Arabic clan with Imam Elam, right? And a sister questioned him on how I gave the greetings toward them. She said, "Wait a minute, it ain't that. We can hear that what the brother's saying. So is it ice like ice? Assalamu alaikum." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Yes, it's assalamu alaikum." And she said, "Well, why we ain't been saying it?" And see, well, you remember I said on the lifeline many times, it's you email or call yourself instructors, and y'all not even telling the people right.
Yeah.
Come on, man. But you want somebody to call you email.
Yeah. We can't let nobody single out. Truth.
No, sir.
We can't let nobody do that. And then we have the people jumping and joining sides. Taking sides.
Uh-huh.
You know. Yeah, I'm standing for the truth.
That's me,
I'm
brother.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm saying. I'm in the party of Allah.
That's Hajibu Allah. The party of Allah.
I'm in Allah. We always going to have somebody that's going to be strong and not weak and stand up. That's always through my whole 79 years in this world. There was always somebody that stood up.
Yes, sir. And I reminded Elam, I took him all the way back when he was an imam in Lansing, way back in the 70s. And I reminded him who I was. You know, and we said, man, we ain't nothing to play with, bro. You know, we didn't come to this religion to play.
Yes, sir. I'm doing a lot. Yeah.
Thanks for your contributions and your knowledge shared and all. And that's what we have to do. We have to stay together, pray together, you know, work
that's
together, and just get the job done. It's got to be done. And do it right. That's all. Just do it right. Okay. Be safe, everybody. And we love you. What do you say, Suja?
I said, and you have to stand up for what's right.
That's right. Yeah, you do.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam.